Welcome back to Invasive Insights, exploring the world of invasive species in the Shuswap and beyond. I'm Emma, one of the outreach program assistants for the Columbia Shuswap Invasive Species Society, or CSIS. We are a nonprofit charitable organization dedicated to the prevention, reduction, management of invasive species throughout the Columbia Shuswap region.
And I'm Shane, the second outreach program assistant for CSIS. Before we get started, let's acknowledge that we're recording this from the unceded homelands of the Sanayaks, the Kunaha, and the Shukwetmuk and Siliks. For those of you who missed our first segment, invasive species are plants, animals, and organisms that come from elsewhere and are introduced into a new environment where they can cause environmental and economic damage.
Each month on Invasive Insights, we're diving into a different theme related to invasive species. And this time, we're talking about something that impacts our waterways. It's called whirling disease. It almost sounds fun, but whirling disease is a serious threat. Right, Shane?
That's right, Emma. Whirling disease is a disease affecting juvenile or young salmonoid fish, including trout, salmon, and whitefish. The young fish are infected by a tiny parasite through their skin. The parasite will kill rainbow, including steelhead and cutthroat trout, under 4 months of age and can cause really high death rates in fish populations, depending on their size and age. The young fish are the most susceptible. Adult fish can host the disease as well, but they are less impacted, and they can also be carriers of the disease. It poses no threat to human health. Emma, can you talk in more detail about what happens to young fish that are affected by this disease?
Yeah, fish that are infected develop deformed spines, causing them to swim in a circular or whirling pattern. Once infected, there is no treatment for this disease, and the fish will either die from the disease breaking down their body or from their decreased ability to escape predators and feed themselves. The severity of an outbreak is difficult to predict due to various interacting factors between habitat and environmental conditions. However, in some extreme circumstances, localized population collapses of more than 90% have been observed in some streams in the western U.S. This means that this disease has the potential to wipe out fish populations once it's been introduced into an aquatic environment.
That sounds quite distressing. How does this parasite spread?
It spreads through microscopic spores that can hitch a ride on watercrafts, fishing equipment, boots, and even on the fish themselves. These spores can persist in both water and mud and are so resilient that they can live in a water body for over 20 years. Shane, do you know if whirling disease has been found anywhere near us?
That is a great question. It actually has. It was detected for the first time in October of last year in Emerald Lake in Yoho National Park. Further testing detected whirling disease also in the Kicking Horse River, Wapato Lake, Finn Creek, Monarch Creek, and the confluence of the Emerald and Kicking Horse Rivers. The results were confirmed by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency through testing in December 2023.
Now that whirling disease has been detected in these really popular areas, what will happen next?
These infected areas are quite popular and get many visitors each year due to their natural beauty and water sports such as fishing, kayaking, canoeing, paddleboarding, boating, and so much more. This popularity and high usage for water sports can turn these areas into super spreaders of whirling disease if this isn't handled properly. To reduce the risk of further spread of whirling disease and protect vulnerable species at risk, all water bodies in Yoho and Kootenai National Parks are closed to watercrafts and angling until March 31st, 2025. These restrictions were designed to help protect fish species that are vulnerable to whirling disease, which includes several species of trout and kokanee salmon. This closure will also provide Parks Canada with an opportunity to conduct further water sampling, monitoring actions, which can help inform future management decisions.
That sounds like a great management decision to help stop the spread of this disease. Due to the severity of this issue, whirling disease is actually federally regulated through the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. There have been a few steps taken by the government to help manage this issue further. A few examples are the Pull the Plug initiative, which began on May 17th. This legally requires boat operators in British Columbia to remove their drain plug on dry land to drain all water from their boats, including all internal compartments. This is to ensure there is no water left on boats that may possibly contain invasive species. For example, zebra and quagga mussels are highly invasive species, and they have microscopic larvae that you wouldn't see and you wouldn't know were on your boat. They can even survive in a single drop of water. So remember to stop at inspection stations if you have any kind of watercraft that you are transporting. The second initiative is through the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and they have declared the Columbia River as an infected zone due to the proximity of the infected lakes. The rest of BC has been declared a buffer zone, meaning whirling disease has the potential to spread throughout the province, but has not yet been detected outside of the initial infected zone. The CFIA has disease control measures for buffer areas to prevent the disease from being introduced. Within the buffer zone, certain industrial facilities and activities that involve the movement of fish, water samples, and testing equipment will require a CFIA permit. In addition to this, the province, Parks Canada, and CFIA are all coordinating on monitoring and the next steps that are to come, and we're all staying appraised of how we can support this effort regionally.
That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that the government is taking action on this important problem. We can all play a part in protecting our beautiful aquatic ecosystems. It's all about cleanliness. Anglers and visitors to our lakes and rivers should clean and dry their gear thoroughly before moving to different bodies of water. This prevents the spores from being transferred. Whirling disease can be transmitted through equipment that is used for swimming, paddling, boating, water pumping, and fishing. Basically, if it goes in the water, clean, drain, and dry it off. It's also super important that people do not move fish, dead or alive, or any fish parts from one water body to another. Use fish cleaning stations where available, or put fish parts in the local solid waste system. Do not dispose of any fish or any fish parts in a kitchen garburator.
How clean is clean? And how long should people dry their gear out for?
That is another great question. Clean, drain, dry is a really important practice to help prevent the spread of all aquatic invasive species. Studies have shown that drying even the most resilient spore stage significantly reduces the infectious abilities of Myxobolus cerebellus.
What's that?
It's a long fancy word for whirling disease. Let's go through all of the steps involved in clean, drain, dry. So first we start with clean. So clean and inspect watercraft, all watercrafts, trailers, and all equipment that has been in contact with water or fish. So this includes boats, motors, bait buckets, and swim floats. Remove all mud, sand, and plant material before leaving the shore. Rinse, scrub, or pressure wash your boat away from storm drains, ditches, or waterways. Also remember to bathe your pets before allowing them to enter into a water body. Another reminder for fishers is to clean the bottom of your waders or even all of your waders so that you're not spreading anything with that. Next is drain. Before you leave the shoreline, drain all of the water from your watercraft and any of your equipment onto dry land. And remember to pull the plug. It is now officially illegal to transport any watercrafts with your drain plug in place. And finally, dry. Dry the watercraft and or all of your equipment completely between trips and allow the wet areas to air dry. Allow a minimum of 24 hours of drying time before entering new waters. Leave compartments open on your boats and equipment and sponge out any standing water. We like to tell people to make sure that your gear is crispy dry. Emma, what are the broader implications if this disease continues to spread unchecked?
The impacts are pretty far-reaching. Besides the obvious ecological damage, there's a significant economic toll, especially in communities that rely on fishing and fish-related tourism. Managing this disease is crucial for maintaining the health of our aquatic ecosystems and our local economies. If you think you've spotted signs of whirling disease, such as small fish with bent or blackened tails, please report it immediately to whirlingdisease@gov.bc.ca. You can contact the CSIS team on our website, www.columbiashuswapinvasives.org, and you can also download the Report Invasive app on your phone. Just search for Report Invasives BC in the App Store. Early detection is key to managing outbreaks effectively, so we need everyone's help.
For more information on whirling disease, check out the CFIA, which is the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, or your provincial website.
Invasive species management is so important. Speaking of which, are there any upcoming events where people can learn more?
You bet there is. If you're still curious about whirling disease, there's a webinar happening on May 28th, which will be focused on Parks Canada's response to the detection of whirling disease parasite within Yoho National Park. This will be hosted by the Invasive Species Council of BC, and you can register through their website, bcinvasives.ca. And after this webinar, we are hosting a regional discussion on whirling disease in the Northern Columbia, and you can also learn more on our website.
In addition, CSIS will be having a workshop at Meadowbrae Nursery on June 8th. We'll be discussing sustainable gardening and how to choose non-invasive and native plants for your garden. Speaking of plants, we will also be hosting a weed pull at Little White Lake on June 7th. We will be targeting yellow flag iris, which is a destructive aquatic invasive plant. Come get your hands dirty and help us make a difference in invasive species management.
Thank you so much for everyone tuning in and learning more about whirling disease. Remember to clean, drain, and dry your watercraft, pull the plug, and play your part in protecting our ecosystems. Until next time.